Now the Tantra not only assigns different colours to different material things, say the five elements, the four continents, not only assigns them to the worlds and to the magic rites, it goes even further than this. It does something even more significant. The Tantra, the Tantric tradition, assigns colours to the bodily forms of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. In Buddhist art, traditional Buddhist art, and especially in Tantric Buddhist art, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and so on are never envisaged naturalistically. They're not meant to tell you, as it were, what a Buddha or Bodhisattva actually looks like on the material, on the historical plane. It's a symbolic, not a naturalistic, not a representational art. And as part of this way of envisaging Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the Tantra sees them all as brightly coloured, brilliantly coloured. It sees a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, for instance, as being bright red in colour, or deep blue in colour, or pale green in colour. Always a definite colour. This might seem rather strange to us, that you have a Buddha with an emerald green face and body, or a Buddha with a ruby red face and body, or a sapphire blue face and body, and so on. But this is how the Tantra sees all these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and so on, as brilliantly, as brightly coloured in this way. Every Buddha, every Bodhisattva has a colour, is a colour, is a sort of luminous, transparent colour. Now, in the course of these lectures, we've already had occasion, quite often, to refer to this, or at least to notice this. I think, in fact, there's been a reference to something of this sort in almost every lecture. I've referred, for instance, more than once to the five Buddhas. The five, as it were, archetypal Buddhas. There's Varochana, the illuminator. He's the white Buddha, Buddha of the centre. Then there's Akshobhya, the imperturbable. He's the deep blue Buddha, the Buddha of the East. Then there's Ratnasambhava, the jewel-born one, the yellow Buddha, Buddha of the South. And Amitabha, the infinite light, the red Buddha, the Buddha of the West. And lastly, Amoghasiddhi, the unobstructed success, the green Buddha, the Buddha of the North. So they all have definite colours. When you pronounce the name of Varochana, Buddha of the centre, you think of the white Buddha. When you pronounce the name of Amitabha, Buddha of infinite light, you think of the red Buddha. You see, as it were, a white Buddha figure, pure white, a red Buddha figure, pure bright red, and so on. And not only think of them in this way, but as it were, see them, see these colours. And in the course of the lecture so far, we've described a white Vajrasattva. And it was said that his colour, according to tradition, is white, just like the snow on which the sun is shining. And then we had the red Sarvabuddhadagini, red in colour, ruby red, and so on. Now, why is this? Why does the Tantra assign colours in this way? Why does it see Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in this way? Sort of in technicolour, you may say. Brilliantly coloured, brightly coloured, in this way. Just as though they were all made of jewels, one might say. Why do we have in the Tantra this vast array of brilliantly coloured transcendental forms? Forms of Buddhas, forms of Bodhisattvas, forms of Yidams, forms of Dakinis, forms of Dharmapalas, all brilliantly coloured. And not only that, some of these Buddhas, some of these Bodhisattvas have many different forms, not just one form. Take, for instance, Tara, one of the most popular Bodhisattva figures. She has 21 different forms. And what about Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion? He has, according to some traditions, 108 different forms. And these different forms don't all have the same colour. Different forms, even of the same Buddha, the same Bodhisattva, often have different colours. And the difference of colour is in each case significant. So why is this? Why is so much importance attached in the Tantra to the colour of these transcendental forms? Why is it always mentioned, emphasised, even insisted upon? The red Buddha, the white Buddha, the red Dakini, the white Bodhisattva, and so on. Why, we may ask, does the Tantra's symbolism of colours culminate in this sort of way? Now, to understand this, we have to go back to the fundamental emphasis of the Tantra. And that emphasis, as we've seen more than once, is on direct experience. This is what the Tantra is all about. Not about theories, not about speculations, not about philosophy, about direct experience. Experience of what? Well, in a word, experience of oneself. One's own self, as one really and truly is, in the depth, the ultimate depth of one's being. But how is this experience of oneself, in one's integrity, one's metaphysical integrity, how is this to be achieved? Well, among other things, according to the Tantra, as according to other Buddhist traditions, with the help of meditation, with the help of a systematic approach to higher states of consciousness, suprarational states. And as we know, there are very many different methods, many different paths of meditation. And the Tantra has certain methods of its own, in some cases developed from Mahayana methods. And one of the best known of the tantric methods of meditation is what we call visualization. Visualization of a Buddha, visualization of a Bodhisattva, or a Dakini, or Dharmapala, and so on. So what does this mean? Why this visualization? What does it represent? One can only say that, as it were, to begin with, there is the enlightened mind. There is the mind, as it were, of the Buddha. There is Buddhahood, ineffable and absolute. And this ineffable and absolute Buddhahood, this enlightened mind, this one mind, this ultimate reality, possesses, as it were, so many different aspects. This is the only way in which we can think of it, conceive of it, as it were, possessing different aspects, different facets. There's an aspect of love, absolute love, an aspect of compassion, infinite compassion, an aspect again of beauty, an aspect of absolute peace, an aspect of pure wisdom, an aspect of absolute spiritual power and sovereignty. And each of these aspects of that one mind, that enlightened mind, that Buddha mind, that reality, each of these aspects, according to the Tantra, can be, in fact even, in a sense, is personified, or is even a person, a particular form, Buddha form, Bodhisattva form. Love, for instance, is personified as Kurukule. Compassion, personified as Avalokiteshvara. Wisdom, personified as Manjushri. Primeval purity, purity from the beginningless beginning, above and beyond time. This primeval purity is personified as, or is, Vajrasattva. So one has, as it were, this abundance, this superabundance of spiritual forms, divine forms, if you like, transcendental forms, appearing, as it were, on the horizon of tantric Buddhism. And what happens? One selects one or another of these forms, one or another of these Buddhas, Bodhisattvas and so on, possessing a particular colour and so on. One selects. Or one's guru selects a form, selects a Buddha, selects a Bodhisattva according to the spiritual needs of the individual, the disciple, selects a form that corresponds to something he especially needs to develop, or something towards which he's especially inclined, maybe love, maybe wisdom, power, and so on. And then, the selection having been made, the disciple learns to practice, learns to meditate, starts by concentrating, and then visualizes in, as it were, the meditation. Sees in the meditation the form that has been selected. Practices until he can sit with his mind's eye, as it were, or in his mind's eye, see it clearly, see the colour, shape, insignia, dress, and so on. But perhaps more than any other part, more than any other aspect, he sees the colour. Sometimes when one starts visualising, one just sees an undifferentiated patch of colour. Just sees the colour. And then the colour gradually assumes a certain definite form, the form of the Buddha, or the form of the Bodhisattva. But to see the colour, to feel the colour even, is very, very important in this type of practice. Because the colour it is that gives one the feel, the inner feeling, if you like, of that particular aspect, that particular Buddha, that particular Bodhisattva. And this feel of it, of him or of her, which the colour gives, is something that cannot be put into words, something that is very subtle, very indefinable. But in course of time, if one, say, is visualizing, if one is concentrating on, meditating on, say, a red Buddha, or a green Bodhisattva, or a white Dakini, and so on, in course of time, as a result of that practice, as a result of the visualization of that particular figure with that particular colour, above all with that particular colour, a rather strange, a rather peculiar effect is experienced as a result of that practice. I remember quite a few years ago, someone asked me, I think this was in Kalimpong, what it is that one experiences as the result of doing the meditation, that is to say, visualization practice, of the green Tara. What does one experience? This was the question. So, on that occasion, I replied that what one experiences is the spiritual equivalent of greenness. This is what one experiences. But one can also turn this round, and one can say that greenness, that the colour green, represents the colour equivalent, the equivalent in terms of colour, of the spiritual experience otherwise known in its, as it were, personified form as Tara. And that spiritual experience is, of course, an experience of tenderness, compassion, and so on. The very quintessence, in fact, of tenderness and compassion. Now, when, in the course of this kind of meditation, one experiences the greenness, experiences the greenness as a colour, and as more than a colour, as a symbol, then, one may say, to that extent one experiences Tara. One may say that the colour becomes a sort of vehicle for the experience of a spiritual quality, a spiritual state, which the colour symbolises. But this sort of thing, one must say, can be really understood only from one's own practice and experience. So generalising, we may say that the visualised figures of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas represent, or are, the form and colour symbols of particular aspects of the enlightened mind. And through the form and colour symbol, one experiences, or one can experience, the spiritual principle which the symbol embodies. One even comes into contact with that principle. One even assimilates it, or realizes it.